I'm here to declare that we have an amazing God setup to overcome. I'm here to declare that we can represent Jesus Christ in these last days the way He wants to be represented. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We want to partake of Your divine nature today and every day, that we can escape the corruption that is in this world due to lust. We thank You that it is Your word that endures forever. Your word will not fail. It will not return void. We thank You it is so this morning. And Your word goes forth, and it has healed and delivered us from destruction. We thank You, Lord. It is effective, successful, and accomplishes every purpose where it has been sent. We believe Your word. And this morning, may faith arise in our hearts because of the anointing of Your word. Your word is our truth. Your word is our light. Your word is our life. Yes. It's our joy and our strength.
Hallelujah.
And we thank You for the precious Holy Spirit. That You never left us alone. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me get my glasses here. It's a time where we need to continue in faith, continue in love, continue in the Word. We need to have courage in the days that we live in. This world, I believe, underestimates the influence of the body of Christ. There are even those that have counted the church out. But we as believers, we need to shake off and rise up from the words and the ways that are in this world. We live in a world where there's so much deception. Has anybody noticed? More than ever. Where bad is called good. Good is called bad. Light is called darkness. Darkness is called light. Where truth is called a lie, and lies are deceptively spoken as the truth. We as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ have truth that we be not deceived. God knows right where we are in time. Nothing catches us off guard. And He knew exactly what you and I would need in this day and in this hour to overcome. And I hope after this morning that we will be a church with no excuse. I don't care what has got you down. Jesus is here to lift you up. His word has made a way for you, and He's already bought by His blood when He died on the cross. Everything that you and I need, it's already ours. Who will stand up and lay hold of everything that we were laid hold of in Christ Jesus? What do you want to leave out? What do we want to miss in this day and in this hour? I need it all.
Amen. That's right.
And you know what? You and I, we've got it all.
Yes.
We've got it. The world may watch the church looking for our defeat, but never forget the cloud of witnesses. Never forget that heaven and the angels of God that are round about us, that minister unto us as heirs of salvation, they are watching. Who will lift up the word of God? Who will agree with God in this day and in this time? Who will say no to the world and its ways? Have you noticed there's a greater separation than ever before? And it is really decision time for the church. We're not to sleep. We're not to slumber. We're to be sober. We're to be alert. God has given us the ability to utilize deception protection. He has given us His Word, first of all. And He is the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is truth. And let's go ahead and turn to John 8. The Gospel of John. John 8:31. We love the word. We love this verse. John 8:31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in Him, if you continue in My word, you are truly disciples of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We are living in a time to where there's people that they don't want to hear the truth. That shouldn't be named among the church. I love freedom too much to be bound. I've come out of the darkness into the light. It was for freedom that Jesus Christ set us free. What are we going to do with it? We can't take others where we're not willing to walk. You're not going to live the truth and be free. Then what kind of witness and representative will we be? You've got to continue in the Word. It's time to continue. It's not time to give up. We have the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of grace and truth. He is the Spirit that empowers us with the advantage of grace in our lives so that you and I, we can be and do everything that God says we can. He is a Spirit of grace that will take you and I beyond ourselves. He is a Spirit of grace and truth that gives us the anointing that teaches us and is not a lie. And He teaches us how to abide in Jesus, how to dwell in Him, how to know we're on the inside looking out at this world. Amen. Not on the outside of Jesus looking in.
Right.
We've got to stand. We've got to take our position in Christ. We're in Him. He's in us.
Come on.
We're one.
Amen.
God, glory.
Amen.
Our spirit is joined to the Lord.
Yeah.
And we are one. We'll never walk alone. We'll never be left alone. We have the precious Holy Spirit.
Yes.
If you had millions of dollars and you were a very wealthy person and you could have on your staff anybody you wanted, who would you have? Would you maybe have a physician? Maybe a counselor? Who do we need to help us make the right decisions in life? Maybe you might have a financier. That might come in handy in these days. We might even have a minister on staff. That would be cool. Would that be good? Because we want to make the right decisions. You know, we have all that and more in Jesus Christ and the Amen. Power of the Holy Spirit. Glory. He is our helper.
Hallelujah.
He is our constant companion. Whatever you're going through, He's there to help you.
Amen.
We are set up to succeed, not be deceived. We have the mind of Christ. Who has the mind of Christ out there? That means that we can receive and we can think the mind of the Lord, the Word of God, His heart's desire for us. We can plug in. And I have to use that scripture a lot. I have the mind of Christ, especially when I forget something. And also the precious Holy Spirit, the Helper, He knows where everything is that I don't. You know, He brings it to the light. He is the finder and the keeper. We can pray in the Spirit. And I mean pray in tongues. Not ashamed of the power of the Spirit. I thank God for a personal prayer language that I can speak truth, that I can speak the will of God anytime, 24/7. When I don't know how to pray, I can pray in the Spirit. I can pray and release rivers of living water through praying in tongues. Don't let this world take you down. Let the Spirit lift you up. Get those rivers flowing. This last Tuesday, I woke up and the first thing on my mind, and I just meditate. God, what do you want me to share? And it was kind of interesting what I saw in the morning. The first thing I saw, you guys will probably relate to this, the plumbing pipes that go like this. So I saw the pipes. I saw the liquid, you know what, that unclogs the pipes. And I could see a clog right in the middle of the pipe. Some of us, we need to do a check. We need to examine ourselves, see if we be in faith. Examine ourselves, see if we be in love. We got to examine ourselves. Are there any clogs in our life? Is there anything stopping the rivers? Stopping the life of God? Is there anything, most importantly, stopping the love of God?
Thank you, Jesus.
How are we treating our spouses? How are we treating our kids? How are we treating those in the workplace? You know, we need a divine meltdown of our hearts and a dissolving of every clog. In the presence of the Lord, mountains melt. They are removed. I love the presence of the Lord. I can come in and I can be kind of weighed down with the things of this world, but when I go out, I'm free. It's gone. Amen. He knows how to lift it. And it's the presence of His love, and there's joy and peace.
Amen.
And we have the voice of Jesus. I want you to turn to John 10. John 10, 27. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." One of the most precious things beyond salvation and being able to pray in the Spirit, it's all a package deal, but it's hearing the voice of the Lord. I am so thankful. If I'm away from my Bible, we have the voice of the Lord in the written word here in our Bibles. But thank God for the voice of Jesus that will speak into us anytime, anywhere.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
I love it when He talks to me and walks with me. We have got to develop a hearing ear to the voice of the Lord in this hour. We have our Bibles now, but in some countries, they don't. Some people don't. Hide the Word in your heart and be communicating every day with the Lord and listening, being still. It's not about just pouring out to Him, pouring out. But there's a time in His presence where we need to be still and we need to listen. slow to speak and quick to hear. It's like a phone call. Some of you may be saying, yeah, well, how do I develop this thing, this hearing relationship? How do I hear His voice? You'll know and can judge His voice by His Word. He won't say anything apart from His Word. And neither will the Holy Spirit lead you in any other way. But if, let's say, a relative called you on the phone. You can't see them. They don't tell you who they are. But yet, just by their voice, you know their name.
Oh, yeah.
You know them.
Mm-hmm.
If you can talk on the phone and listen, you can talk and listen to Jesus and hear His voice.
Amen.
It's for every believer. He doesn't love me or Pastor John or Sue any more than you.
Right.
We have got to develop a listening ear and hear the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus wouldn't have put it in here if it weren't important to us in these last days. There's another scripture. I'm just going to tell you what it says. But in John 18:37, it says, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice."
Amen.
Are you in everyone this morning?
Yes.
He wants to talk to you.
Yep.
He doesn't want us to get in the messes and go off in a ditch. And if we do, He wants to help us out of them. In John 14:6, we're just about there. John 14:6, we know this. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I have found there's my way, and then there's the way." His is better. So I give it up. And I hope this morning that we can look at the Word and we can surrender, really surrender our hearts. That there would be a transformation, there would be a change in our lives even this day because of the presence and the love and the Word of God that we treasure. We treasure. We've been born again to love one another and love humanity His way so that others can experience the freedom and the truth and they can be one to Jesus Christ. It's not time to wind down or shrink back. It's time that we as an illuminated influence with the display of heaven on earth, we do not allow the gates of hell to prevail against us. We are set up to overcome. We are raised up. We're seated in the heavenlies with Christ, right by God Almighty our Father.
Amen.
It's a good place to be. And that is our position of victory. That is our overcoming position from the Word of God in everything that we face in life. We're not coming from behind. We're a part of the head. Makes you ahead in the race. The Lord is still mighty to save. He is still healing the sick and diseased. He is still opening blind eyes. He's still causing the lame to walk and the deaf ears to hear. He is still raising up the dying and the dead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I just love declaring who He is.
Amen.
I think every devil has run. Oh. He comes with comfort for every sorrow, encouragement for the discouraged. We, you and I, are not a failure. You and I are not mistakes. He is the glory and the lifter of our head. And we may suffer some loss, but it's not over yet. has never given up on you yet. And we better not either.
Amen.
Amen? We better not give up either. He's invested everything in us. I've seen God's faithfulness and His restoration when it seemed like my world was crashing down around me. And I know many of you can say the same thing. When you lift Jesus up, you're going up, no matter what it looks like. You know, downturn, oh yeah? He was there when my first husband died in a plane crash. He was there when my present husband, Mike, he looked like he was dying before my eyes. This was about 20 years ago. He was turning gray. The color was draining from his face. And so I quickly said, "Lord, what do I do?" I sent up an SOS. Help. You know, I mean, this looked like a life or death situation. Seemed good to me, you know. So God's kids get smarter all the time with Him. And I received very quickly a word to take authority over a spirit. So I did, and Jesus did, and the color returned to His face. Then it was Mike's heart, and the Lord made it new. Then it was his liver, and the Lord brought him through. Then it was Evan, our 8-year-old son, hit by a truck and medically given a death sentence. Yet he lives totally restored and tells of being with the Lord. Then I was hit with bacterial meningitis. It looked like I would die, yet I too am alive. That's just a few of the wonders that God has done. I'm in it to win it. Do I believe in miracles? I believe in raising the dead. I believe in healing the sick. I believe nothing is impossible with God to those who believe. We've got to take the sword of the Spirit and cut away a doubting spirit. It doesn't belong to us. We've got to cut away the fear that would try to grip our lives in this day and in this time. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, it's hard to skip these verses from 25 on down to 34. So I'm going to read it in Matthew 6, 25. We need to go back to this portion of Scripture every so often to encourage ourselves in the goodness of God, in His provision, and in His love. Matthew 6, 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life." If we go over to Philippians, it says, "Be anxious for nothing." But we're going to pray. We're going to take it to God. And we're going to have peace. "As to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on." That's a woman's word. "What you shall put on." Yes, Lord. "Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they did not sow, nor reap, nor gather in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than them?"
Yes.
Say, "I'm worth more than the birds." God values you. I don't know how you came in here to church, but you're going out valued by God the Father. He knows where you are, and He knows what you've been through. "And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to your life?"
Right.
Been there, done that. What does it get us? Why not spend the time, instead of worry and fear, spend the time lifting up the Word, praising, worshiping the Lord, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. If you focus on the world, there's worry. If you focus on the Word, there's faith.
Yeah.
It's true. Amen.
There's the encouragement.
Yeah.
There's the love. What is it that is going to keep us high in the Lord?
Yeah.
We have a high calling to represent Him well. And why are you worrying about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? In other words, if you're walking around in rags and you need some new shoes, believe God! I heard a testimony lately of one of the sisters. I mean, she got a new pair of sandals for $4. And they're worth probably, approximately, this is a guesstimate, probably maybe 60, 50 or 60. God does amazing signs and wonders, even in bargains and sales. I mean, He can use birds to feed. We don't know exactly how God's going to provide. But if you get your heart out there and you trust in the Lord, and even as we sang, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
If we believe.
Yep.
If you have to be patient through faith and patient, you inherit the promises. You don't have any food. Believe God. Believe God. And just look at it like, well, I'm fasting until I eat, put that food in my mouth that my Father is giving me.
Come on.
Don't worry. In verse 31, do not worry, then saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And God is in the need-meeting business. But this is the real key, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I don't know about you, but I have to go back to this scripture a lot. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I seek the King. I seek my Father. I seek His righteousness. I seek what is the right way of doing things according to the kingdom.
Right.
What is your will, Jesus? How can I represent you rightly?
Come on.
And things will follow.
Right.
Like surely in goodness.
Yes.
Things will follow. I want to go back to verse 31 because there's a key here. It says, do not worry, then saying. And you know what the then saying is? Whatever we're worrying about. Which may not be just food and clothing. People who worry have a tendency to talk up what they worry about. When we give voice to worry, it feeds fear and doubt. We might even pick up somebody to come along for company while we speak against the will of God and we sink into despair. We've got to choose not to go there. In Proverbs 18:21, don't worry, then saying has something to do with our mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Don't let that worry come out of you. We can stop it. You know that? Self-control, fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Yes. Casting down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the Word of God, the knowledge of God and His truth. In Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. We're living in a day to where there is a lot of death. We're living in a world where we don't see as much of the life of God that we would like to see. But within every believer is power. Power in our words that come from our hearts and spirits of faith to declare the word and will of God in the earth.
Come on.
What is a heavenly destiny for us here on this earth? Who is willing to stand up, believe it, and say it, and shout it if need be?
Amen.
We need to know that, I'm not going to turn there, but Hebrews 11:6, that God is, He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. There is rewards to seeking God.
Amen.
And there is a reward for seeking the kingdom and His righteousness first.
Amen.
And I like rewards.
Yeah.
I do. Go ahead and reward me. I don't look for the rewards as much as I want to be with Him. I look for Him. We have to make the most of our God today. He is a now God. He's a today God. He can't deal with my yesteryears. And He's not busy today for tomorrow in that He wants me to live in this moment. He knows the beginning and the end. But He wants me to focus not on my past. And yes, we have vision for the future. But sometimes we're caught in one place or the other and we forget where we are in this moment in time. We do not allow our God to show Himself strong in behalf of those who love Him and have faith in Him.
Glory.
What a life, what a setup. The world is draining, but the Word and the Spirit will fill you up.
Oh, yes.
And we're to be continually, constantly filled. In Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but what is it? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by man. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to build one another up. We need to keep giving away what we've freely been given. Keep loving. Love the unlovable, the undeserved. What is love for? Only love the people that love us? What is that? Takes no faith. And they don't need to be changed anyway in that way. But there's a world that's dying. They're hurting. They're broken. They're deceived. And we have the truth and we have the power of the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts to touch their lives, bring a God atmosphere in their face so that they'll know He's real.
Amen.
They'll know that He loves them too. That they can be free. If our life is centered around seeking things rather than the King and the kingdom, we will be disappointed. If our spiritual life is not a priority, if we don't value our spiritual life more, we will miss God's best, His peace, and his rest. There are many things that the early church, they had to face. Difficult things, but they knew and understand the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to just go through just a couple things. I'll probably just tell you about it here, and one of them is in Hebrews chapter 10. They were losing their things. And the scripture talks about in Hebrews 10 in verse 34. It talks about them showing sympathy to prisoners and joyfully accepting the seizure of their property or their goods. And I have to look at the Word, see the early church, see Jesus. How did they respond? And this, that's a big one. But we also are to count it all joy when we fall into diverse trials. You know? The joy of the Lord. It doesn't depend on the circumstances. I'm so glad. I guess that's why sometimes I listen to the news and I start laughing. I think the spirit within me knows the end of the story. You know, I am aware of the God setup in my life to overcome. And I'm not going out without a fight. I'm not going out without a stand. Their heart was not in earthly things. Their heart was in possession of the King and the kingdom. Do you think that maybe they believe that God is a way maker, that he is the provider?
Right.
And according to Matthew 6, he adds things.
Yeah.
Some of you are here today and you've suffered loss in different areas of your life. It's not over.
Hallelujah.
God is a God of restoration. Doesn't matter if it's a job, if you're willing to work, God will honor your faith to believe, and he can open the door for you.
Right.
Doesn't matter if it's your health, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed.
Yes.
It says about these believers in Hebrews chapter 10, that they are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul or possessing of the soul. That's Hebrews 10:39. So they had an amazing testimony. Amazing testimony. They couldn't respond that way unless they really knew who they were in the Lord and what they had. Another example is in Acts chapter 4. And this is where Peter and John, they were put in jail and they were threatened. After the miracle of the lame man at the temple gate was raised up, where it said, I don't have coins, I don't have change for you, but I tell you what I do have, I'm going to give you.
Yeah.
I know I got the power of God.
Glory.
Yeah.
The King and the kingdom over things. So they're accosted, they're put in jail. And in Acts 4:20, it says, for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And then jump over to 29. And now, Lord, this is the prayer. This is their prayer. They didn't shrink back. They're going full speed, radically ahead for God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, take note of their threats. You know, we hear of threats. We may have been threatened a time or two in our life. We need to know when we need to stand and not retreat. Take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. They tried to take their earthly things, but they couldn't take their heavenly King. They tried to persecute and silence their voice, but they decided they wouldn't pull back. And they wouldn't stop speaking. They wouldn't be silenced. They were about the kingdom business, the show and tell of the amazing grace and love of God for the humanity, for their souls. They refused to stop lifting up Jesus and the power of the cross. And I want to declare today that there was, there still is, and always will be power in the blood and name of Jesus Christ. When bad reports come, I have to take control of my emotions. I have to still them. Or they'll carry me away to a place of heaviness. I have to, on purpose, cut it off and shut it down. And even if I visit that place, I don't stay there. Get back where you belong. I'm talking to myself, you know. The upsets of life, we need to shut up the negative reports and trust in the report of the Lord. We offload stress, worry, and strife and fear by the Word of God. When we are loaded up with the Word, look out, we fire back. We can get up and stand, for God has given us the setup. And we can take hold of a promise. We can call those things that be not as though they were. We agree with God, not the world. We agree with the Word. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, as 2 Corinthians 2:14, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of knowledge of Him in every place. Some may think life is just too hard. I can't take it. I just don't have anything to live for. You not only have someone to live for, you have someone to live through. His name is Jesus Christ. And we need you. The scripture also tells us in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. I'm just going to read this to you. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. That is possible in every circumstance. Peace keeps us from flipping out in the flesh. We need the peace of God. It is to guard our hearts and minds. And thank God it guards our body too. Peace counteracts the upset. Peace is the setup. It's the nature of Jesus Christ that is at work in us. And John 14:27 is where he says, peace I give you, peace I leave with you. That we would not be fearful, we would not be troubled. Lay hold of peace. And when you lift him up in his word, it's just one step away. Take that step and do what you know to do. Guard the peace. Whatever we do in word and deed, we're to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and give thanks through Him to God the Father. Do we appreciate what the Lord has done for us? Will we surrender what doesn't please Him? Any sin, any darkness, any bondage, we can't afford to have one foot in the world and one in the kingdom. Because that foot that's in the world is going to find a lot of hands pulling. pulling you into darkness where we don't belong.
Amen.
This life is not about how many earthly things that we can accumulate that the devil tries to steal and destroy. It's about the most precious treasure, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I've said for many years, you've heard this many times, if you didn't have anything else, if you had Jesus, would He be enough?
Amen.
Would He be enough? We need to settle some of these issues now. The world is getting darker, but we get to be brighter and shine on. We have His glory to be revealed in the earth. The enemy just doesn't want our things. He wants the very life of God within us. He wants to silence the God truth on the inside of you. He wants to stop the flow of rivers of living water, that you would not be a witness in attitude, in word, in deed. He knows that angry people don't reflect the love and peace of God. I'm going to quickly, just about out of time here. Okay, guess. No. Yeah. Oh. Okay. I want to talk to you for a moment. I like the pearl illustration. I like to wear pearls, but they're so interesting. Pearls are formed in mollusk, a shell. When a foreign matter gets into a shell, then the oyster releases a substance to cover it. And the oyster will release it over and over and make layer upon layer to ease the discomfort from the intruder. The intruder becomes an irritant. So pearls are a product of pain, adversity, and irritation. An unwanted, uninvited intruder comes into the oyster's life, yet God created the pearl to handle it. Get the picture? The oyster cannot get help from anywhere else. He can only rely on what God put inside of him. So if an oyster can turn the irritations, the adversities of life into pearls, what can you and I do with the life and power of the Lord Jesus Christ within us? God has us set up and God has you covered. As believers, we have the substance of faith to release concerning His Word. We have the love that's shed abroad in our hearts to release, to win people to Him. We have praise. We have thanksgiving. We have worship. We have forgiveness. And we can and will forgive because we have been forgiven. And if we don't forgive others, guess what? We're not forgiven. I can't afford to not be forgiven. I won't let anything or anyone come between my Lord and I. A purpose in my heart. It doesn't matter what horrendous thing has been done on the face of the earth. The blood of Jesus has covered that. Jesus knew. He set us up with love to forgive.
Right.
Let it go. Let it go.
Good.
I'll tell you a quick story that I heard. I heard a minister say this recently, that the pastor of a church in a third world country was martyred, was killed. The brother goes into the same village, the camp, and says, We are a church of love. We forgive you. And we love you. And you know what happened? In the atmosphere of love, God's on the scene. People came out of the village, fell down, crying, repenting. We can forgive. There is a holy city in Revelation 21:21. It's coming down from heaven from God. And it has 12 gates. Interestingly enough, each gate is a single pearl. It wasn't created by an oyster. I want to see those gates. I want to walk through them. The word says, I think it's in verse 25, that only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are going to walk through the gates of pearls. Yeah.
Right.
What does that mean? Jesus overcame life's adversities, every irritant, every situation that came against him to the shedding of his blood. And when I walk through those gates and I see those huge pearls, I want to see the one who had perfect love to cast out fear that created those pearl gates. But most of all, I am so thankful for the beauty that he gave us in our life. There isn't one person that you meet in a day that Jesus doesn't want you to represent him well. Let what he placed on the inside of you in newness of life, our born again life of the Spirit, choose the Spirit. Don't walk in the flesh. It doesn't belong to us. It's dead. And we need to render it so. We walk away from flesh. We walk away from the word and the ways of the world. We are in this world, but we're not of it. Our citizenship is a heavenly citizenship.
Amen.
We are his ambassadors. And we need to represent him well. I'm going to stop there. I think I'm out of time. So...
Father, we thank you for the word again and what you're doing in each heart and life. Father, help us to just realize how important to our spirit these things are and what your word is to us. Father, each one goes their way. You bless them, strengthen them, keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen.